This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in Season 3, Episode 63, I chat with Brisbane runner Clive Gross. 6 years ago, Clive wasn't even running. It was more likely to see him on the couch than running along the waterfront of North Brisbane suburb, Sandgate, where he now currently trains and coordinates the quickly growing Bush Turkey Track Club. Now a 2:31 marathoner and a 15:27 5K guy, Clive has certainly made a name for himself in Brisbane running circles of late. For Clive, though, it's not just the running that is impressive, but also him as a person and the balance he has now found between work, training, and family. I hope you enjoy the listen. Well, Clive Gross, welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast.
Thanks for having me, Ollie.
I'm very much looking forward to this. 26th of October, and we sit here at 7:40 p.m. I think we had the same kind of challenge tonight, putting down our kids. You've got two kids yourself.
Yes, I'm very lucky. The kids went down sweet, as they do most nights. So, yes, didn't have to put too much effort in there, thankfully.
Excellent, mate. So much to get through tonight. Obviously, we'll chat about the up-and-coming North Brisbane group, the Bush Turkeys, which you've played a massive part of to date. And pretty much a fairly recent group too, aren't they, in Brisbane, in the whole big scheme of things. But also your running, like you've accelerated massively over the last 3, 4, 5 years. So looking forward to delving into that.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Now, before we get there, let's talk about some hot topics out there at the moment. I gave you a bit of a heads up about what we might talk about, and it's the Women's Marathon, isn't it? Just about, 2 weeks ago from tomorrow, is that right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Chicago, Ruth Chepngetich, 2 minutes off her PB in that race. 2 minutes off Asafa, Ethiopian runner, the previous marathon world record for the women's, but 4 minutes 22 off her own PB, which is just crazy. And I said last week to Brooke Williams on this very podcast that the first half, I'm not sure if you've heard, Clive, of the race was the fifth fastest half marathon.
Yes, incredible, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, unreal.
Yeah, so what do you put this down to? Like, obviously, she's been around for a few years. I delved into a bit of her history in the last 2, 3 years. Like, she's lingered around 2:14, 15, but now we're looking at 2:09. So, yeah, what do you put this down to, honestly?
Well, we know what the whole running world is, implying, and I guess some people have been more outspoken about it than others. But, and look, you can understand the suspicion, right? We can't help but feel suspicion when you when we see a result like this, especially with the history of doping in Kenya. My view is, suppose she is clean, and we've got no reason to accuse her of not being clean at this point. Really, we should be celebrating this performance, treating her like the champion she is, and giving her the credit she deserves. And if we find out that she's not clean, or anyone's not clean, yes, let's drag them through the coals. But until then, let's celebrate the achievement. You know, like Paula Radcliffe took 2 minutes off her PB and updated the world record back in 2003, and that at the time was considered a ridiculous performance. Do you know who Alex Hutchinson is?
I don't actually. Yeah, go ahead.
So he's a sports journalist, and he's the author of a book called Endure. It's a really good book. I recommend any endurance athlete have a read of that. But he was one of the sports journalists invited to report on the Nike Breaking 2 project. And in his book, he talks about prior to the Breaking 2 project, there were some researchers that did a study and predicted that, or they wanted to know how long it would take before a man broke the 2 hour barrier in the marathon. And, you know, these researchers predicted it was going to take until at least 2050 before it happened. And a couple of years later, it happened unofficially, of course. You know, it kind of goes to show there's a history of amazing performances in the marathon. And I think there's so many variables in the event that it is possible to make big leaps. So yeah, I guess I'd like to just celebrate it for what it is, with a small amount of suspicion in the background, but really just, you know, not unfairly accuse anyone of any wrongdoing until proven otherwise. What do you think?
Yeah, well, let's look at the last like 5-10 years, both for men and women, right? There's just the frequency of that record getting faster and faster has just, the rate of it has got better and better. There was a period just after I was born, actually, for about 10 years of the record just staying as it is, for the men's, that is. And now we're looking at this time getting broken over and over. Personally, I think if we look at one other variable away from anything performance enhancing, it's got to be footwear. It has to be in the last, particularly 5-6 years since that shoe we all know of had come out after Kipchoge's efforts in the Breaking 2 project.
Yes.
But along with that, we've got to also acknowledge, I think, and a funny coincidence, actually, a teacher at Nudgee College, where I teach in Brisbane, just this week was talking. I asked her what the year 11 boys were doing for their assignment in mathematics, that was. And she was saying they were looking at the trends of women and men in sport and graphing, and basically looking at the trend of it becoming closer between men and women over time. And we're now only 9 minutes, even less, to a degree, from the fastest lady over the marathon and the men too, at just over 2 hours. So that gap is lessened there. But surely the footwear is the big one. What else can you think of?
Well, yeah, obviously, yeah, footwear is the big one. I mean, there's advancements in nutrition and that too. But I guess there isn't really, you know, the super shoes have been out for a few years now, and yes, they've gotten better. But I'd say the gains are quite marginal at this point, compared to say the original Vaporfly 4%. So it probably don't explain a 2 minute PB, I wouldn't have thought. I think perhaps it's just people figuring out how to nail the marathon and knowing their limits, you know. Just as when Bannister broke the 4 minute barrier, we just saw a wave of people just breaking it months later, you know. And prior to that, it was just unreachable.
Yeah, I definitely think mentally, once you know a barrier is broken or lowered, that it can mentally really enhance performance. I also spoke to Brooke Williams last week on the podcast about, I was mentioned, I just threw that word out there, footwear, but let's talk quickly about what that means. Well, for me anyway, I think it's the duration over time, you know, two, three, four, 5 years in these shoes. It's not about that one-off performance. I think it's the over time that within training, the recovery is better, the performance can be enhanced within session after session after session. You can come back, you know better than I, Clive, in the marathon, you can come back quicker than you used to.
Yeah,
Absolutely,
I
the
never
half
thought about
marathons,
that.
Like a lot of runners now are doing a session at the back end of a half marathon post week as well. So I think that's really added up over the years.
Yeah, so I guess it has that
Otherwise,
compounding effect over a few years, which, yeah, there must be something to that, surely.
yeah. Otherwise, how can we compare a shoe now to like equitably and fairly, like in a controlled way, a shoe right now, even in the same brand of Nike, for example, compared to the first versions of years ago? It's a hard thing to do, isn't it? To say, hey, run a
Yeah.
marathon this month, then in a few months we'll change shoe into the older one.
I am hoping the Alpha 3 has a massive performance enhancement, actually, but yeah, I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Obviously, a few minutes in that women's marathon now, a bit quicker. 209, sub 210 as well. So it's crazy to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, incredible.
Also, just the other week too, Jack Rayner in the men's marathon at Melbourne, I thought he had a fantastic run, particularly solo. And he has had some trouble in the marathon, hasn't he? And he sort of in the last 2, 3 years went back to running your 10Ks, your 5K road races, your half marathons. And he came out pretty much in a solo time trial on well, at Melbourne for a 2:11 in the marathon. So yeah, what do you think of that?
Yeah, it was really good to see him come back. And I think he was probably quite disappointed with not making the Paris team for the 10,000. So, just seeing him sort of switch back to the marathon and have that sort of performance must have been really good for him. And he's like me, he's had issues with bone stress injuries in the past, and I really hope to see him reach the level he deserves to reach in the marathon. And I guess let's see how this next 12 months goes for him.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that he was the one left out of that Olympic team when like in the last 2 years it's all been Jack Rayner. We could
Yeah.
obviously throw in the likes of Ollie Hoare and Cam Myers in the 1500 if we're going to go that low here and running on the track. But it's been a Jack Rayner show for years. For him to miss
Oh,
out
yeah.
on
Every
that,
road
but
race is just unstoppable.
that 10K is very cutthroat, isn't it? And he's
Yeah.
PB's now, I think, at 27:00 something, 08 or 09. I'm not sure if you can correct me on that.
No, I don't know. Sorry.
Obviously very difficult to qualify for anything in that 10K. But yeah, who's out there in your mind? Like Ryan Gregson, he's getting a little bit older now. I think he's approaching his mid-30s, but that real peak for marathon time though, he had a pretty good run there. And a few others out there getting towards the end though, aren't they? Like, Liam Adams and these guys. Anyone younger that you have been tracking or can think of that may be the next big one coming through?
Oh, look, I'd love to see Liam Bowden, who's been a guest in the show in the
Yes.
past, make a big breakthrough and get under 210. That'd be awesome. But all the guys and girls in Australian marathoning at the moment are, they're doing awesome things, and I'm just loving the whole story at the moment.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And I agree, Liam, he's just so consistent and tough and got that real like durability, I think, through training and his racing as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it should be very interesting. What about the ladies? Any idea there? Do you follow much of the women as well?
I guess I don't think Jen has reached her peak at all
Yeah.
yet, and probably not Jess Stenson either. There's a few other up and comers that have obviously got a lot of potential as well.
Yeah, and so many like just still continuing to peak too in their late 30s, 40s. So yeah, we'll see how that pans out. Mate, let's get quickly back to you, hey. This is about you tonight. And what I want to start with is just anything about Clive, work-wise, family-wise, what you do to buy time away from running. What is it that really drives you through the week, Clive?
Okay, well, I'm a husband and father of two. Guess my profession, I'm an engineer. I've got a degree in aeronautical engineering, but I've never worked a day in aerospace. I work in I guess, a branch of instrumentation and control engineering, building management systems and electronic security systems. So I've been working on the Queen's Wharf Casino Resort development for the last couple of years as the master systems integrator. And my job there is to basically aggregate all of the operational technology systems across the property into a single, I guess, the buzzword is a single pane of glass. So we have things like air conditioning, fire detection, escalators, CCTV cameras, all that sort of stuff, all just visible in one place. Traditionally these different control systems are all sort of siloed into different dedicated systems and head ends, and the purpose of this system is basically to pull it all together to simplify management of the property. So that's sort of what I do full-time when I'm not running and being a father and husband.
Sounds complex.
What else do you want to know?
Have you ever explained your work to someone on the run? It's quite a long-winded way, or
yeah,
it sounds difficult to explain.
It is, because it's not like it's not a common or a typical kind of engineering. So, it's very easy to simplify, like I'm an electrical engineer or I'm a mechanical engineer. This is a field of electrical engineering, but it's quite nuanced. I guess every job is probably nuanced. It just depends how deep you want to go. But yeah, it can be a bit of a mouthful to give the 1 minute explanation of what I do for a job.
Yeah, well, the other question too was around the running. So I know you're pretty or very committed and meticulous about your training, and that's both running and strength and stretching and that kind of thing. But is it a big question to ask a father and husband what else he does? Is that it? Family and running and work, obviously, in there.
Yeah, I guess probably running is obviously the main hobby, right? And I've got a really tight friendship group in my running club as well, which I guess is brings in that social aspect as well. I guess when I do have spare time, and I don't have a lot of it these days, I do dabble in a bit of data analysis, machine learning, software development. I'm a bit of a nerd, so I like to play with that sort of stuff. I'm actually working on an app at the moment, which has been a very long project because I only get a couple of hours every couple of weeks to touch it, but my plan is to get it to the market one day. But
and nothing,
yeah.
nothing further on that, keeping it a secret for now.
I'm happy to talk about it. So I'm actually building an app that's like an endurance training app. So similar to, I'm sure you've heard of Final Surge or Training Peaks. So similar in principle to that, where athletes and coaches can plan and schedule their training and track their progress. I'm hoping to have a bit of a point of difference in my application. I think there's ways that AI can help coaches scale. Obviously, the most important thing when it comes to coaching is communication and knowing and having that good relationship with your athlete and knowing how they're going and how hard you can push them safely. But I feel like there's ways that through data analysis you can pick up on anomalies in individuals' training that can perhaps be missed or overlooked, especially as a coach scales. So that's something I've been toying with. So just a bit of a hobby project at the moment.
Very interesting. I had no idea. And good luck with that, Clive. But let's rewind a little bit for now. It must have been about 2020 or 2021 where we met, and it wasn't so much a one event or occasion I can think of, but I think it was at the Nudgee College track there in Brisbane, when all things were kind of weird with racing and a lot of training happening. And I remember you running a lot back then with Stephen Butcher, another fellow
yes
bush
yes
jockey at the time. And I think I'd learned years later that you were sort of only really running seriously from 2019, wasn't it, as well. But by this time, when I was seeing you run, I think you're quicker than me already after a year or so, and I've been out there for 10 years. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this story has unfolded for you from around about that time, if I've got 2019 correct.
Yeah, 2019 is right. So 2019, I guess, is the point in time when I started consistently running, you know, a couple of times a week. Prior to that, I was quite a jolly stationary person. Didn't do a lot of exercise, didn't eat particularly well, didn't really take care of myself. And, you know, I got to a point living in this Brighton Sandgate area. You know, you'd see all these people out and about being super active on the foreshore and that. And I kind of felt envy towards these people and thought, well, why aren't I doing that? Like, this is something I could do, and running is something I was good at school, and, you know, I should get back into it. So, you know, just started jogging. And at that point in time, my understanding of running was just go as hard as you can for 2K until you can't run anymore, and then stop and catch your breath and jog back home. And you know, progressively learned a little bit more about endurance, and, you know, got connected with the Moreton Bay Roadrunners, you know, made friends, and, you know, started getting a bit of a training group together, of people I'd regularly do sessions with and that sort of stuff. And I guess that was sort of the where it took off from. 2020, I took a bit of a detour and went into triathlon. There's a guy from work who did a presentation on Ironman triathlon, and, you know, he explained this event where you do a 3.8K swim, 180K ride, and a 42K run all in one day. And I just thought, that sounds ridiculous. And at the time, like, I've always been a terrible swimmer, and it's been a weakness of mine. And, you know, the thought of completing one of these events sounded terrifying. And I just thought, I've got to give this a go. You know, the running comes quite easily to me, but the swimming is something that would be a real challenge. So, yeah, 2020, I detoured into a triathlon, did the Cairns Ironman. It actually got delayed due to COVID and got pushed closer back, further back, towards summer. So it ended up being a putrid day, stinking hot. I got food poisoning 2 nights before the race. So, you know, all my carb loading and fluids had been depleted. Had a shocking day, but got it done. I was quite pleased with that. And that was kind of that wrapped up my triathlon journey before I switched back to running. So 2021, back into running. Ran my first marathon. That would have been when we started running into each other down at Nudgee Track, I think.
End of 2020.
Oh yeah, end of 2020 and perhaps into 2021. So that was, I'm getting mixed up with years now. So 2021 is when COVID hit, right?
2020 was the first point in Australia that it hit about March, but then it did come back at the beginning of 21 quite prominently again. It was
That's right,
definitely
yeah,
like
okay.
February, March again. And
Yeah.
that, you know, in terms of the strength of the waves or whatever you want to call it, that was second to that 2020. So it must have been around
Yeah.
then.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember why Ironman got postponed to later in the year, but then the following year, 2021, our race, a Gold Coast Marathon, got cancelled. That's right. So we
Yes.
ended up doing organizing our own unofficial event on the Sandgate foreshore and ran a marathon there, on the same day that Sunshine Coast Marathon was meant to be held, which also got postponed or cancelled. So yeah, ran the Sandgate Marathon, ran 2:46 there with so a bunch of us organized that event and all basically tried to treat it like a real event as much as possible. We'd all been training hard all year and wanted to really just do a marathon to tie it all off. And yeah, basically ran most of it with Stephen Butcher, until the last sort of 4 or 5K, and yeah, came through the finish at 2:46. Which I was very pleased with. Shortly after that, I suffered a sacral stress fracture. So that took me out of action for a fair bit. I at the time, I guess I wasn't really aware of what stress fractures were. I didn't know anything about bone health, and or what I did know about bone health was that apparently running was good for bones, which, you know, after having the injury and doing a lot of research and trying to understand how it happened and how to make sure it doesn't happen again, I learned actually running isn't that good for bone health. there's other things you can do for your bone health, like, you know, resistance training and plyometrics, but running can, you know, actually deplete your bone mineral density over time if you're not giving your bone cells time to replenish and remodel and keep up with the training load. So I basically spent the end of 2021 recovering from the sacral stress fracture, and then into early 2022. 2022, by then, you know, I was committed to get on top of this bone stress injury, learn how to master it and come back stronger. So, you know, I did an enormous amount of research with all that spare time I had from not running. Learned, an enormous amount about bone health. Learned a lot more about endurance training and long distance running in particular. Picked up a book called Scientific Training for Endurance Athletes by Dr. Phil Skiba. He's one of the scientists hired by Nike in the Breaking 2 project. And I've read a lot of running books over the years, but this one was just, it's like my training Bible now. So I started writing my own training from that point. I basically looked into the year of 2022 and wanted to do a marathon that year. And I wanted to make sure it was one that was far enough away from the stress fracture that I had sufficient time to safely rebuild, and have a good chance at a PB. So the best fitting marathon was going to be Melbourne later in the year. And so I basically went from a, you know, by the time I'd finished my stress fracture rehab and walk jogging protocol and all that, I basically had a 20-week build, from, I guess, from the day I stopped walk jogging to race day. And I wrote this plan where I really focused on, you know, maintaining good bone health, but also trying to get the most bang for buck for my training, knowing I wasn't going to be able to accumulate the same training load as I had the previous year. So I ended up doing it with probably 20 to 25% training load, less training load than what I'd done in my marathon build in 2021. And that's both volume and intensity. And I ended up running a 9-minute PB at Melbourne, 2:37, which was I was very happy with. It was just a, you know, perfect day. Everything went absolutely to plan. I was over the moon about it. And yeah, I guess that sort of you know, confirmed that I was onto something there, and the teachings from Skiba's book were obviously working. Shall I go on to 2023? Keep going up until today,
Yeah,
or
let's do it. You got some great flow
yeah.
here.
Okay. All right, so rolled on to 2023. Decided I was going to do the Gold Coast Marathon, which I guess was what I'd initially intended on doing back in 2021. And I guess this ties into the Bush Turkey Track Club a bit, but we can maybe jump into that
We'll
later.
get there.
Gold Coast Marathon. So trained for that 2023. So I ended up running, I was wanting to break 2:30. I ended up in a pack with Jen Gregson, paced by Scotty Westcott. It was a big pack.
Yeah, I
I
remember
remember watching,
seeing the pack. Ten to
and the
15
Gold Coast
people.
Marathon put on pretty good footage of the event. And a few times they switched back to that pack because obviously focusing on Jen, who at the time was third or fourth place, fourth female.
It's her debut,
And
wasn't
yeah,
it?
that
It's
was
her
her
debut,
debut too.
yeah.
But yeah, it was a huge pack. It was very exciting. But by about 31K, I think we'd just passed. Jen had caught up to Eloise Wellings. Eloise wasn't having a good day, and we passed her. And then shortly after that, it must have been 31, 32K, one of the guys from the pack like made a breakaway. And I don't know what I was thinking because I actually wasn't feeling that good at the time. I decided I have to go with this guy. There's no other option right now. So I just went with him and broke away from the pack. And about a K or two later, I was just like, why did I do that? I was completely cooked. And shortly after that, my hamstring started cramping, first my left. And I've never had hamstring cramps before. And I do a lot of heavy weight training too. So, you know, I I think I've got strong hamstrings. So it was quite a shock. And then my right hamstring went. I ended up having to walk it off. And shortly after that, Jen and the pack came flying past me. And I ended up hobbling through the finish, finishing 2:31. Jen ran, I think, sub 2:28 that day. So perhaps if I had have not gotten carried away and just stuck with the pack, I might have maybe not run sub 2:28, but at least would have, I'm sure I would have kicked my sub 2:30 goal, but lessons learned. So that was a great experience. And after that, I guess I was looking for a bit of redemption from that blow up and wanted to get another decent race in before the end of the year. So looked back to Melbourne. Obviously having such a great time at Melbourne in 2022, decided to go and do the half this time around. So rode up a 13-week program. I called it Project 69 and set my eyes on trying to break 70 minutes for the half. And it all went really well, around 69:45, I think, thereabouts. Like absolutely once again nailed it. I guess in hindsight, looking back, while the program that I put together was really good and everything ticked all the boxes and obviously helped me kick the goal, I did probably deviate from the plan and broke a few of my own rules. I chucked in a few unplanned intensity sessions in the final weeks. Things would pop up throughout the week, or I was feeling really good and decided to go off plan and just do extra hard stuff for the hell of it because it was fun. And unfortunately, shortly after that, I developed my second sacral stress fracture. So that happened a month or so after, maybe 2 months after the Melbourne half. So in addition to probably deviating from the plan, I made the mistake of instead of deloading and having an off season after Melbourne half, I just kept racing. And I knew when I wrote the plan, I was sort of taking a few risks and probably which I was prepared to do. Sometimes you got to risk it for the biscuit, and I had a pretty ambitious goal. And I knew, you're taking some risks. You've got to let your body settle after this and have a proper deload once you finish. And I guess I got sucked into, the next race and the next race and the next race and, didn't follow my own rules. And yeah, sure enough, another sacral stress fracture. Actually, during that period as well, I started developing pain in my groin, and it basically developed into osteitis pubis. So I was just starting to understand what that was and what that meant when the second sacral stress fracture occurred. So unfortunately, that was a, both of those injuries were a big setback for me. So that kind of ended my 2023, and I've spent, the first half of 2024 rehabbing from the sacral stress fracture, but also really trying to get on top of the osteitis pubis, which it's a very frustrating injury to have. And I know Liam's actually spoken about it on your
Yeah, Liam
show
Vernon, yeah.
before. I actually reached out to Liam after I heard him on your show because, I got to some pretty dark points in early 2023 where, I had all this time off from the sacral stress fracture.
Hang on, this year or
And
last
I,
year?
that's this year.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, so I had the injury late last year, but carried through to this year. So I'd had all that time off, like letting the bone heal, and I'd start reloading the tissue just by walk jogging, and the groin would flare up again. I started to learn that osteitis pubis isn't like a bone stress injury where you stop loading the bone, give it some time to heal, and then start to slowly reload it, and it's all good. The problem with OP is, it's inflammation on the pubic bone itself, as well as the connective tissue that attaches to it, like your adductors and your rectus abdominis.
Yeah, can you sorry to interrupt, just to point out where exactly is that point within the hip groin? Like,
It's yeah, just on your pubic bone, so just above your junk.
Yeah, so not on the outside, but definitely more towards the middle
In the
lower
center,
part of
yeah.
the very lower part of the abdomen, really.
Yeah, so like where I get the pain, like I get pain in my adductors, which are the inside of your quads. And so because they attach to the bottom part of the pubic bone. And then I also get pain in the abdominal muscles, so just below the belly button where the abdominal muscles attach to the pubic bone. Yeah, and it, I guess there's just so much connective tissue in that pelvic region that I think it's quite easy for one thing to have a chain effect on other things in the area. And
Yeah, I think I'm going through that myself.
I think men in particular tend to suffer from hip and pelvic injuries, especially as they get older. And this osteitis pubis is it seems to be pretty common with older male runners. So the problem is like you deload it, you give it what you think is sufficient time to heal, but as soon as you reload the tissue, it just comes back. So I've gone off on a bit of a tangent here, but I basically at my some of my darkest points where I was just not seeing any progress with this injury, I reached out to Liam after hearing him on your show and just said, hey, have you got any advice on how to manage this injury? And he was super friendly and super helpful. He gave me some suggestions about just being persistent, listen to your physio or your strength and conditioning coach, and just keep doing the exercises, even if you feel like that they're not really helping or they're not doing much. Just keep at it.
Is this an
Don't,
Instagram message or a phone
yeah,
chat?
Instagram message, just be persistent with the exercises and don't do anything that flares it up. Like just if you're starting to feel it flare up, back it off. And be vigilant with your exercises. And sure enough, I did that. And it took a few more months, but I started to see results. And it's kind of got to a point now where I definitely get flare-ups, and they're still more frequent than I would like. But instead of constantly being in a 6 out of 10 pain or higher, and being in agony whenever I sneeze, I occasionally start to get these flare-ups where I can feel it coming on, and it gets maybe to a 3 or 4 out of 10 at the worst. And I can back things off, maybe pop an anti-inflammatory or two, and it comes back down again. And it's good for another 3 to 4 weeks at least. So I mean that's still not fully resolved. And now that I'm entering a bit of a marathon build, it's probably going to come back, and I'm going to have to manage that. But certainly in a much better place than I was 6 months ago. And actually, I ran into Liam again at the finish line of Brisbane this year and had a chat to him about it and
Oh, you
sort of
would have.
explained to him. Yeah, yep.
What, 3 minutes
Yeah, he was,
behind him? 4 minutes.
yep, he was waiting around for me to finish.
Yeah.
yeah, and he basically, I explained to him where I'm currently at with the injury. And he said, where it sounds like I'm at, he reckons it probably takes another 6 to 9 months of just keeping at it before it gets to a point where you can say it's almost fully resolved. I guess I should mention as well, it's obviously it's not just chatting to Liam that's helped me get through the injury. My physio, Brad Beer, has been super
Yes.
helpful. He's a fantastic problem solver. He's helped me with problem solving and load management with my last couple of marathon builds and getting over these stress fractures. I also use him now as sort of like I'm self-coached, but I like to use him as a bit of a my sports medicine consultant to help me ensure I'm not overdoing things and help me manage load and eliminate unnecessary risk from the program. So that's been working really well.
Yeah, and this is sorry for to cut through there, but if the listeners don't know Brad Beer, he's the founder of Pogo Physio on the Gold Coast, an amazing podcaster, the Physical Performance Show, which has been around for what, 7 years? I'm having a bit of a guess there.
Oh, I'd be
How
guessing
did
too,
you
yeah.
make contact with him? Especially you being Brisbane based and him Gold Coast.
Well, I reached out for a telehealth appointment I was familiar with him from his podcast, and you know, back in 2021, after my sacral stress fracture, I, you know, when I went into deep dives of understanding bone health and how to manage it as a long distance runner, you know, he kept popping up, and his episodes kept popping up, and he's had his own personal issues with bone stress injuries. He's also interviewed a lot of you know, global experts on bone health and bone health in particular for runners. So I thought, you know, he's going to be an excellent you know, kind of consultant to help me with this. So I reached out to him, made the telehealth appointment, and he's been my sports physio ever since.
Yeah, right. There you go. That's awesome. And is it like quite informal now that you reach out at times just to check in, or is it, do you sort of book in a time and he'll go through things for a longer period of time with you?
Yeah, so it's about a, I guess at the moment, about 6 weekly thing where he checks in. We look at what training I've been doing, what I've got planned for the next 6 weeks or so. He'll provide a bit of input. He'll update the program based on, as in the strength program based on OP symptoms. And yeah, that's been working really well.
Awesome, mate. While we're on the topic of Brad Beer, the specialist of resistance training himself, it looks like you're turning into a specialist too. You know, and that's been a very prominent part of your training from what I can gather and have heard of in the last few years, particularly. You mentioned it, alluded to it at least earlier in the conversation. How is that looking these days? And like, is there a real purpose around the training as well?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in strength and conditioning. You know, heavy weight training as well as plyometrics. I was doing it even before my first stress fracture, but you know, I've taken it to a next level ever since the first stress fracture. When I had the first stressy, I went and got a DEXA scan, and I learned that I have low bone mineral density. And you know, one of the most effective way, well, pretty much the most effective way of improving bone mineral density, or at least delaying it from declining as you get older, is heavy resistance training as well as plyometrics. So it has that protective effect on your bone health. But I also think it's, you know, it's really it really enables you to become a, you know, a more powerful long distance runner as well, if done correctly. You know, it can improve fatigue resistance, which, you know, they say is the fourth missing variable when it comes to, you know, modeling marathon performance. So yeah, I try and do two hard gym sessions a week, as well as some you know, body weight stuff and ball squeezes and things like that in front of the TV a few nights a week as well. Yeah, so the bone mineral density thing, turns out my brothers also have low bone mineral density, and they were both in the army, or one of them still is. And you know, the army is very conducive to high bone density with the nature of the kind of work they do, with, you know, heavy pack marches and a lot of personal or physical training and PT and gym work and that. Both were have been big into gym stuff since they were teenagers. The three of us had, you know, we used to eat huge amounts of food as kids. We're never deprived of food, so there's no reason to think we'd have, you know, at risk growing up. We consume an enormous amount of dairy, which, you know, we're all encouraged to do in the Western diet for good, strong bones. We all were very active in sports and that, and it turns out this, all three of us have like bone mineral density, low bone mineral density. So that's something I've learned. It's just how I am, and it's going to be a limiter to how much long distance running I can do, and my ceiling when it comes to training. You know, I seem to recover quick and get fit quick compared to a lot of my teammates, which is great. But then I've just got this, you know, I've got this, that isn't my limiter, you know, my aerobic fitness. I just seem to get quick, fit really quick. It's my bones I need to worry about. And the problem with bone health is, you know, you generally don't know that your bones are fatiguing in the background, unlike a soft tissue injury where you kind of pick up on it straight away and you can get on top of it pretty quick if you manage it correctly. you can often have bone fatigue accumulating over many months, and it's not until you've developed a grade three stress fracture before you know that something's not right, and by then it's too late. So, big on the strength work. I think that really helps strength and conditioning. And I guess I would encourage any of your listeners who are long distance runners to really try and fit it into their week, because I think it makes a difference. And yeah, not just in my case with the bone health, but in terms of your performance too, if you're a performance focused athlete.
Yeah, agreed. Well, give us an idea of the kinds of weights that you lift, as in the amount of weight over some of those more well known or popular exercises. I know you're a fan of the compound exercises, your deadlifts and your
Yeah.
snatches and that kind of thing. Is there, you know, is it something you work away at over time to get stronger as well?
Yeah, I reckon it takes a couple of years of consistently doing it to get to a point where you can, you know, I can. So, for example, I'll do 4x8 by 115 kilo remaining deadlifts. And it's taken me a while to get to that point. But I guess I've developed enough of that muscle memory now that I could take a few months off and very quickly get back to that point. Whereas in the past, it would take me, you know, probably a year to of consistently doing it to get to that point. So yeah, remaining deadlifts. I used to do a lot of other exercises that I'd written in my own S&C program that I think were probably contributing to the osteitis pubis. So with the help of Brad, I've sort of culled out that stuff and really focused on the exercises that are going to help condition that region and fortify me from the OP stuff, as well as, you know, strengthen the other parts of my body that are going to make me a more successful runner. But the, you know, the heavy stuff is great, because I think it helps with the fatigue resistance as well as the bone health. I'm also doing hip thrusts, so I typically do let's say 4x8 by 25 kilos, not single leg. I'll do maybe 4x8 by 60 kilo single leg calf raises. I'm missing something. Yeah, I used to do Bulgarian split squats, which I think are great for runners, but that definitely was aggravating my, you know, my groin pain. So I had to cut them out. A good alternative to those is skater squats, with just like a just carrying a plate and dropping down to the skater position on one leg. So they're the main compound exercises I do, and I just try and do that, all of them, twice a week. I also do plyometrics, so I'll either do like single leg deadlift jumps into the air with no extra weight, say like 3x16 of those, or either squat jumps or counter movement jumps, holding in like a weight plate, 5 or 10 kilos worth of weights. I think those plyometrics are really useful too, and you know, they're kind of not as fun to do as the heavy lifting, but I think they really help with you just being more powerful and springy and elastic. And then there's obviously the body weight stuff. So I'm doing either single leg planks or anterior power arm bunkies. I find the Copenhagen's really help with the adductors, strengthening the adductors for managing the OP as well. So I guess that's in a nutshell most of the exercises I do. And yeah, it's not an elaborate program. It's only, you know, maybe six exercises I do. And I might alternate one or two of those and swap them out for something else every now and then, or I'll try and mix it up in my two sessions a week. And yeah, as I said, the body weight stuff, whatever I can do in front of the TV, I'll do, like the planks and the ball squeezes and things like that, just to reduce the amount of time in the weight room.
Sounds good. Had a quick question before we get to the turkeys, Clive. I was just thinking as you're talking there, do you think, like, with the weights too, that some athletes like yourself can play like to your strengths or their strengths by being stronger because they are strong? What I mean by that is, like, there's some athletes that can get away with not doing much of it or any at all, who are just those, like, quite lean. The athletes that run very well technically, and that kind of thing? Or do you think that everybody needs to be fairly strong out there?
I think you're probably right. The guys are a lot leaner than me that are, wouldn't be lifting anywhere near what I'm lifting, that are running far faster than I am and probably getting injured not as often either. So yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. But I would say for your average amateur long distance runner, recreational long distance runner, I think it's going to help. Yeah, I think there probably is a subset of people that don't really need it. But I think most of us, especially as we get older, becomes more important. Running aside, I think there's a lot of really good health benefits to strength and conditioning, heavy weight training, especially as we get older. Your muscles start to atrophy, your bone health starts to decline unless you're doing things to load the bones and the tissue. So I think it's just a good thing to be doing as a human. If you can get away with not doing it and you're young, then fine. But definitely, I'd say you should be doing it just for your own personal health as you get older.
Yeah, very good. Well, let's get to the Bush Turkey Track Club. We definitely
Yeah.
spoke about this as a topic coming into this conversation, and I'm just trying to get my bearings on it. And I do enjoy like being thereabouts with what I know about certain things of guests in a way that can just prod the questions in the right way. And I'm just trying to get a grasp on the year the Bush Turkey Track Club in the northern areas of Brisbane was founded. Who was involved in the founding of the club, how that looked, and then how it's run now, because there's many run group out there, Clive, as you know, and there's a lot that are quite loose. It's pretty much me here at this time on this day and or twice a week, and let's run and chat and get a beer or a coffee. Then there's groups like even the Burt Squad in Brisbane who are formal in the sense that they like to attract the faster runners, but not so much a committee like the Bush Turkeys behind what they're doing. It seems like that has created a real sense of culture and connectedness, I think, between the group and the ability to I think head in the right direction as well. I hope I've hit the mark there with what I perceive it to be, being a one of the most recent members too of the Bush Turkeys.
Yes, well, you've summarized it very well, probably more succinctly than I could, to be honest. And yeah, what you said there about it, sort of formalized with a committee and that, it has grown organically and become more and more formal and structured over the last couple of years. It was very informal and just a social group in its earliest days. I guess we could call it became an official or semi-official club in 2021. Prior to that, it was just a loosely collected group of mates who had a messenger chat. Some of the faster runners in the Sandgate and Moreton Bay area that would meet up for runs. In 2020, I think, either, yeah, 2020, myself and my good friend Anthony Middleton were added to the group. Do you know Anthony? Have you met him yet?
Yeah, I think so. I've met a lot of people in the last 2 weeks, but I think he's on the list.
Yeah, Anthony's not running at the moment, but he still often pops down for coffee after a session. Yeah, top bloke, skin as smooth and hairless as a dolphin.
Throw it out there.
Yeah, so Anthony had this idea for a race series called the Bush Turkey Classic back in 2021. And he'd been talking about it for months, and we put it together. It ended up being a 3-round series of middle distance races in sort of the Sandgate area. So we made up these courses. I think the first year, one of them was it over t either the first year or the second year, one of the three was over the Tedsmount Bridge, which was a pretty epic race. Then we did one through the Deakin Wetlands, and the final one was Racecourse Road, which is a 1K stretch of road adjacent to the racecourse in Deakin. And it was a lot of fun. Back then, it was only across the 3 rounds, 16 participants in total. But I think this informal group that we had at the time kind of had a bit of a yearning to become something more official than just a chat group. And I believe this was kind of the catalyst that kicked off the group into, you know, giving it a name and identity. Shortly after that, we started producing merch, starting with Stubby Coolers. Later, Mal from...
Love how that was the first thing.
Yeah, it's good. It's reflective of our culture, for sure. yeah, shortly after that, Mal from Elite Endurance Products contacted us. He's a good friend of us from, you know, triathlon. And he designed and produced our singlets, and that really helped give us a bit of identity. And we love our singlets. They're awesome. But that, I guess, helped, yeah, certainly give us some collective identity. We put on more events throughout the year going into 2022. And I guess along the same, at the same time, like we had a bit of a focus on training and performance. You know, as a group, we all sort of came together as kind of faster, more performance focused amateur long distance runners. So, you know, we're not like a Moreton Bay Roadrunners or one of the many other wonderful run clubs in the area. Have a bit of a different niche to them. And, you know, obviously training and performance is an important aspect of that. So, you know, we got to a point in 2023 where we decided it'd be great to do a collective Gold Coast Marathon training program, given, like, you know, three quarters of the club was keen to participate in the Gold Coast Marathon. So Stephen Butcher and myself, we wrote the club training program, and we tried to write it in such a way to allow people to be able to turn up to workouts together, follow the plan. But, you know, we certainly didn't want to take the place of a private coach, and that's certainly not what we are. Effectively, it was an off-the-shelf plan that would allow us to all train together. But you as an individual would need to think for yourself and decide which things you were going to participate in, you know, how far we're going to run for your easy runs, but also get the benefits of training with the group and all the good things that come with that. And that was a big success. I think most people who participated in the club, you know, had a sensational run at Gold Coast. And, you know, we kept going along that vein with club training. We sort of developed these regular Tuesday, Friday sessions, as well as the Sunday group long run. And by the end of 2023, I guess, you know, we'd continue to grow organically, and it kind of gotten to a point where we'd sort of reflected on what we were and realized we had kind of outgrown a club that had most of its important decisions being made by a couple of individuals. And we decided let's form a committee and, you know, try and you know, make this a bit more structured and bring a bit more, you know, of the collective into the decision making process. And so we formed a committee at the end of 2023, start of 2024, and we've been having monthly committee meetings ever since. We, in that process, we've kind of set ourselves up as though we're an incorporated sports club, even though we aren't currently an incorporated sports club, although that is something we are looking to do potentially in the future if it feels right. But, you know, so we developed a membership policy and other policies. We've, as a committee, over several months, developed a club vision, purpose, and values based on, you know, what we felt our club culture was about. And we use that club vision, purpose, and values to inform our decision making. And one of the great things about having a committee is, you know, you can reflect on your actions and the last couple of months and take away lessons and continue to improve. And that's what we've been doing. So for example, we followed on naturally from the 2023 Gold Coast Marathon training program, and we all went and did Canberra Marathon 2024 and half marathon and wrote another club training program. Because of the timing, the training, all the marathon training occurred over summer, which was quite brutal. It was tough, and you know, some of the guys, and at the time I was actually injured, so I was jumping on the bike and helping guys out mostly. So I didn't have to endure the big marathon workouts and that, but a few people got injured during during Canberra training, and while I wouldn't necessarily put it down to what was written in the training program, we probably would have done more as a club to, you know, keep track of individuals who are following the program. And you know, as a committee, we're able to, you know, really do some self-reflection and think about how can we do better next time. And I think we've got some real good actionable data for the next club training program that we write to make sure that you know, our members are carrying out, our members who choose not to have a private coach and are interested in following the plan are able to do it safely and with minimal risk of injury. We formed in the early part of the year a training and coaching subcommittee. So that's comprised of a number of us Athletics Australia accredited coaches, as well as some other experienced runners in the group. And we plan and lead our club training. So that's the regular Tuesday, Friday sessions that you're familiar with. And another cool thing that we've done as a committee is develop these long runs where we have a long run captain responsible for leading the run each Sunday. The long run captain's job is to plan the route, start time, and provide guidance on pace. Again, it's something we're still trying to work on and improve on each month. But the way it works now is basically every month we put out a shout out. Who wants to be long run captain this week, this week, this week, this week? Anyone in the club's welcome to put up their hand. And yeah, it's been really cool. Yeah, one thing we're trying to do better is get on top of pace and make sure no one gets too carried away with winding things up, which I think you're probably guilty of last week, Ollie, half stepping everyone in the
Yeah,
last couple of
say
K.
coming from the man himself. I did it today actually in the bush turkey 5K smash at Sandgate for a little bit just to get them going, just to get them a little bit quicker towards the back end. But I was there. But yeah, I love those parameters. And moving forward too, you've got a few things on the horizon like the relay happening end of November, isn't it?
Yes. Well, 6th of December, sorry.
December. Yeah, early December,
Yeah.
sorry, yeah. Yeah, so let's talk
Yeah,
us
so
through
that's an event we've had. That'll be our 3rd year now. So it's one on that same racecourse road where we have round three of the Bush Turkey Classic, except it's a 500 meter out, 500 meter back. So 1K long distance relay race. And you know, we've got coloured teams, red, white, black, yellow. It's been an enormous amount of fun every year, and it's going to be our biggest year yet.
Fantastic, mate. It's yeah, just being a part of it so far, it's been awesome to get to know the team, and I think you're doing great things there. And then that's what can come with numbers, hey, to have people that you really do trust and enjoy, particularly their company, to have an opinion put forward and collectively come to the right decisions moving forward. So it's just getting bigger and better,
Oh,
isn't it?
yeah.
And I know
Absolutely.
what you didn't mention too. I'm not sure if you wanted to, but just those parameters or cutoffs around what you'd really prefer the athletes to be at, which some clubs do, and we're talking about like a 5K time cutoff that could be presented as a way of saying, hey, you know, I'm a reasonably quick athlete and I want to come learn a bit and get a bit quicker.
Yeah, so we do have performance criteria for new members. So we expect new male members to be able to run a 5K in under 20 minutes and require them to have a recent result. And for females, it's a sub 22 5K. And the reason for that is, you know, we're catering to I guess, a particular range of athlete. And I think with long runs and workouts, if people aren't at that level, they're at a higher risk of injury. Or perhaps being left behind on a long run and not in a good way. So I think it's from a safety point of view, it's important that people are able to fit within that sort of range so we can get the best possible outcome for their training.
Yeah, definitely. And as I alluded to earlier, I was a part of that this morning, a 17:30 agreed pace, paced more formally by two of the runners. I'll give them a shout out, RV Singh and
Yes.
Liam McCarthy. They're at the front of the pack. But just coincidentally, I'm not sure if you heard, Clive, some of the stories, but there was no one else that was far ahead of us or behind, for that matter. This pack just moved in, about 15 of us, with some younger and older athletes there at pretty much free 28s, 29s. So it's awesome to be part of that. And for someone to think, you know, that I'm reasonably okay at running, to have a handful of turkeys around me was awesome. And just thinking about that moving forward, to have some runners around my pace to really get around, to improve out there as well in training.
Oh, absolutely. That was an incredible spectacle to watch. I love seeing it from the sidelines. And, you know, Liam and Avi were metronomic in their pacing. It was awesome. You know, Jim, Bluey, Shane, all ran, oh, and Matt, all ran massive PBs. Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, I was looking at the numbers. We've now got like at least 14 guys who are running sub 17:30. You know, a year ago,
Wow.
we would have had maybe seven.
Yeah.
And we've probably got at least two girls that are very close to 17:30 now too. So,
Yeah.
you know, I think it's not, I'm not saying that, you know, we should measure the success of our club on the number of people who can go under 17:30, but it's just a really good signal to show, you know, the increasing depth of the club, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah. And I think it's just a sense of natural growth to allow those sub 20 male athletes, for example, to come through there, and by what I know, they just improved over a year or
Absolutely.
so now, and that just happens, doesn't it? So it's pretty crazy to think there's that amount of runners around that pace, and a few women out there too. Some struggle to get there in the morning, but I believe we're working on that. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I hope we see them in the morning tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you and I have a part of a long run to get to tomorrow. So let's try and wrap things up with some listener questions. Almost all of them are a bit of a joke, but some are appropriate enough to read out. Let me dive through the archives. I put up an Instagram post about 2 days ago and it's disappeared.
Yep.
And I hope I can get these here quickly enough. Who would you guess has asked you a question, by the way, Clive, particularly from the Bush Turkey group?
I think anyone who's seen the post is potentially capable of asking a question, so I wouldn't put it past anyone. I'm pretty confident at least Stephen, Arvi, Liam and Ewan would have.
Yeah,
And
all
I'm
by
sure
Liam,
there's more.
actually. Yeah, a couple more. Let's get to Ewan, up and coming athlete. Give him a shout out. Look out for him. I reckon him and Clive are going to come to a sort of a level playing field in a few years. Clive peaking in his late 30s and Ewan up and coming. So that'll be pretty exciting. I know he keeps you honest. He's asked you about quite a topical question here. Your favorite post run feed. We know we see you eating a lot of sweet food after a session or long run. What would you pick?
Yes, I do love a sweet snack. However, I have a tradition after a big race that I've put a lot of effort into training for, to tie it off with a dirty KFC feast. So,
Wow, that's
yeah, I'm mostly actually vegetarian at home. So, yeah, it's not a popular thing for me to do in the household, but it's
the
a bit of a
truth? Is
tradition now.
that the truth? I
Yeah.
didn't know that. There you go. You can be as ripped as Clive if you can go vegetarian. I've heard about this, but there's some further proof to get you going. That leads nicely into Steve's question. What is your favorite order at KFC?
Well, it's a tough one, and I could spend another hour going into the nuances of KFC meal boxes
I
and
did have
so
another
forth.
episode on KFC.
Yeah, I think I like to sort of hedge my bets and go like a box, because that way I get a burger and a couple of pieces of chicken too. You know, if I feel like I've got a big bucket, I'd be missing out on the burger experience. And if I just got a burger, I'd be wishing I had just bought a bucket. So yeah, the meal box is kind of the best of both worlds.
Mate, Avi Singh hasn't got a question here, but he's popped up saying good morning to you. So good morning. And you might get one tomorrow as well, being a Sunday morning.
I hope so. It'll be a bad sign if no one's saying good morning.
The old if you know saying, I think, is pretty pertinent there. Mate, this one's a good question, actually. Steve Woolley. I know he's a man of questions, being a fellow podcast host on the Eat, Sleep, Run, Repeat podcast.
Yes.
What's the goal time for your up-and-coming event the marathon at Osaka?
Well, certainly sub 2:30 is a must do. It depends how the summer build goes, to be honest. I'd like to think I could run a sub 2:28. But yeah, I guess that's where I'm gonna leave it for now, and I'll have a more firmed up answer closer to February.
Next question, is Jan Gregson gonna be there?
Possibly, if she's heard I'm doing it. Got a 2-1 now, so
yeah, you'll have to just make yourself be known. Just slide into her DMs on Instagram and give her the heads up.
Yeah. Yep, just tell her to cancel her next couple of races.
What's her all time PB now?
Isn't it 2:23?
2:23. Yeah. So you got a bit to go there.
Yeah, that's massive.
If she's there, just hold on for dear life, or
yes,
hold on to your actual plan. Mate, let's leave it there. It's been awesome. We've definitely gone over the time I aim for in these conversations, partly because both of you and I love to talk about running, and I just wanted to really touch on that running story too, and hopefully that's resonated with some people out there who are thinking about running, or thinking about getting faster, or thinking about getting over injuries, particularly those kind of nuanced injuries too that you've experienced, but more so just mentally. You don't always have to achieve things in a day. Hey, just getting hope about chipping away at something that can be as easy as tracking a weights program and seeing progression there, or trying to find something as well that can buy time away from running itself. So we definitely learned a lot, and yeah, really hope the Bush Jerky group can continue to get bigger and better, or whatever that goal looks like for you, and hopefully I continue to be a part of that as well. So thank you.
Oh, of course. No, you're always welcome. We're really happy to have you on board, and yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's been awesome.